Okay, this is Andrew at Gear Live. I'm with Jesse and also Jack from Future Technology News. And we're talking with Jason Ford and Laura Tigges today about Sprint's new 3D gaming platform for their mobile line. Jason, do you want to tell us a little bit about that? Why should we be interested?
Sure. We've got a couple phones that we've got come out. One of them is the Samsung A800. It is the first 2-megapixel camera here in the United States. And then we also have the LG 535, which is both of which are capable of doing 3D graphics. They also have a lot of other features that we can talk about as well that might interest our users. As it relates to the 3D graphics, we actually embedded a software engine onto the phone so that developers can actually develop to that engine and create games that are more visually appealing and a little higher end. Also the screens are nicer on this one. This one has Samsung A800 has a QVGA screen, so it's really starting to push the envelope when it comes to what things can look like on a phone.
Okay. Now, in terms of mobile gaming, the mainstream gamer uses their Nintendo DS, their PlayStation Portable, mm-hmm. And as far as mobile phones go, the Nokia N-Gage has suffered as far as mobile platforms. So what, do you have any statistics, or what makes you believe that someone would, want to use their mobile phone for gaming when they have these,
one of these wonderful devices they can play on? We were just playing with the PSP a minute ago, and I don't think we're trying to replace that. I think that's what N-Gage actually tried to attack and go after that particular market segment, and that's not what we're doing. We're taking advantage of the fact that people have their phone with them all the time. And I know that this crowd at this show has other devices with them, but I don't think they represent the majority of people in the United States or in the world, for that matter. So the fact that you have a phone with you all the time and you may want to be entertained, you may want to be competitive, being able to play it on your phone allows you to do that without having to bring along another device. And, there's times and places where you're going to want to have a full-on dedicated device. Xbox is at home, or a high-end computer or something like that. And we're trying to maybe enhance and add to those things, not necessarily replace.
Okay. Do you have a target market? Are you hitting the 18 to 34 males, or are you going for everybody?
My favorite quote was from the gentleman who runs Sorrent. His name is Greg Ballard, and he says, when asked what the demographic for mobile games were, he said, well, what's the demographic for toilet seats? Everybody. And it's true. We have it everywhere. It's for kids, right? Kids and
those young at heart.
And everybody in between. And, it's going to have a skew towards males. It's going to have a skew towards a younger demographic. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have crossword puzzle games for probably an older demographic as well, because mm-hmm. they happen to buy the phone and they can then look and easily get into it and find that there is something that's appealing to them, not just for people who are trying to get into the show or follow this type of stuff closely.
Right.
Or you have poker. You have gambling.
Poker and cards, it's for everybody, right?
Right.
And you could be a heavy hardcore gamer, but decide that it's okay to be able to go out and just play some poker against other people. And one of the things we're announcing this week is the availability of a cross-platform game, the first of, I'm sure, will be many, poker from Yahoo, where you can play it on your computer online, and you can also play it on your phone against people who are on their PC. So cross-platform games are hopefully just the start of this, where you can actually add things like remote controls into persistent communities and so on and so forth, where you can maybe allow people to get out and see the sun once in a while.
So as far as the mobile, multiplayer aspect of this, you're saying that anywhere in the country or anywhere in the world, for that matter, if you're on a PC, you can connect to Yahoo Games Poker mm-hmm. and play against
somebody else. You won't know it, right?
How many people at a table?
10 at a table.
Okay, so 10 people simultaneously.
Theoretically, all of them could be mobile, or all of them could be, on the computer, or any mix in between.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's interesting stuff. We also are doing stuff, like I mentioned, with the 3D games, but we're also getting into community-based stuff, so what we call our game lobby is basically a version of what I would call Xbox Live Lite, and the ability to be able to have one username across all games, one place to go for your stuff, buddy lists, reviewing of games, all the kind of things that help you to be more immersive and be able to communicate with other people and compete against other folks, because I think that adds a whole another layer into the fun aspect of a game is being able to take your skills and compete with other people and see how you really rank up. And it's just freakish how often people are playing these games and how much they will do this.
So how often are they playing?
Well, this is the lead-in question, right?
Yes, there you go.
Yeah, we had a story. We had one of our game publishers reach out to a guy who was heavily into one of these games and just kind of see what he's up to. And he told us how he was so addicted to one of these games that he actually would put his phone into a Ziploc bag so he could actually play in the shower. So...
What?
Yeah, so we want to play. So we want to keep playing, right? Which is, I mean, the marketing spin on this whole thing is, our customers are clean, and that's, you know,
obviously.
Yeah, so we appreciate the fact that they're going to take at least multitasking and then take it to the extreme. The other thing is, you took it something like a Bejeweled multiplayer, which is a very casual game and popular online, add a multiplayer aspect to it from a company called Jamdat, and allow those folks to play little three-minute games against each other, see who can get the highest score, bomb the other guy with a freeze bomb or a crazy key bomb where you try and go one direction and you go the other. And the average, you know, of the top 100 folks that play this game have played on average 625 hours. That's insane. Each person's averaged 625. The mean, if you want to know how much there's a difference, was like 575. So it's not one person who's taking that average way up. The top person's played, you know, 38,000 times.
Now, for those people, are the games just pay for the download and you can play as much as you want, or is it like however much time you're spending to play?
Yeah, so that's a good question. You can actually download the games from a fee ranging from a couple bucks to almost $7. It kind of depends on the price that the publishers have set. So I don't set the prices at Sprint. The people that we work with do. And then as far as the transporting of the data, so it's a multiplayer game. If you have what we call a vision plan, which is our data plan, it allows for unlimited usage of our network. So you don't have to think about, okay, I can play one more game. I've already bought the game, but now I'm wondering if I can play it because I don't want to incur a cost for playing the game. If you have this plan, and over 6 million people actually have this plan of our subscribers, you don't even think about it, right? Like having your DSL or cable connection at home. Unlike having, you know, the old AOL where you had to pay by the hour.
Right. So, now, we were talking about the different types of games. Now, some of the actual big gaming publishers like Square Enix, companies like that, are actually getting more into the mobile games.
Yeah.
Are you guys having partnerships with them?
We actually have a partnership with Square. We do not publish any other games at this point in time. Many of the larger publishers, I think, have a challenge getting into this. It's more the mobile-centric guys who actually live and die by mobile games, and so Jamdat and the what's now called iPlay, who was formerly Digital Bridges, Informa. These guys live and die by this, so if they don't make any money here, they don't make any money anywhere. And some of the larger companies, the THQs, the EAs, the Square Enixes, have other successful lines of business that they can kind of rely upon, so it doesn't become this necessity to do well. And I think some of them are just kind of doing this dip your toe in the water kind of a situation. And I think it'll get better, but right now I think that across the board, the mobile-centric guys are the ones who are actually doing better revenue-wise than say, the large traditional game publishers.
Okay. What about as far as the user, how playing 3D games with 3D graphics obviously requires more power than the old 2D games. How does that convert over to cell phone usage and battery life?
Yeah, so battery life luckily has actually kept up. The technology has kept up with the demands of color screens that have, you know, more pixels in them and a need to have a faster processing chip, which these phones that have 3D have a faster processor in them. And, you know, if you're going to charge everything up every night, then you're cool. If you're going to spend 6 hours talking and 2 hours playing, you probably won't make it through the day. Mm-hmm. But if you have a normal average talk time and you play an hour or two, you know, you'll be able to make it through the whole day and charge it up overnight. You won't be able to make it 4 days.
Right.
You need to take your charger on your trip, you know, but you will be able to get through the day playing.
Which is normal.
But if you're playing, you know, 600, I mean, the top guy was averaging 8 hours of gameplay a day, 7 days a week for months in a row. I'm pretty sure he was plugged into a charger.
Okay. Now, you talked earlier about the game lobby?
Yeah, so our community is called
the game lobby.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you've used to find out how long these people have been playing?
Some of that. And then some of it's a multiplayer, so the actual server for the multiplayer aspect is not on our game lobby servers. It's at the publishers. Mm-hmm. And so they'll tell us when people play, how often they play. So, for example, when they play, you know, the stories have always been, well, I'm going to play it while I'm in line at the grocery store and blah, 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 which I'm sure people do, but what we're finding is by far the peak time for playing games is prime time, local, right? So when you would expect them to be hanging out with their kids or watching TV or access to an Xbox or a PlayStation or a computer or what have you, and yet they're playing this. So we haven't looked into this market research-wise, but we kind of feel that it's probably something that people are multitasking with, right? You know, watching TV, playing a game,
yeah.
Watching their kids at a park, playing a game, whatever the case may be, but they're doing it at a time when you think they do something, they could have access to other things.
Okay, so you get part of your information from the publisher.
Sure.
What information can you get through the game lobby? If I were to subscribe to Sprint and enter the game lobby, what would I be able to see about other people? Or would I be able to see?
Well, so for example, you can set up your profile so that you can let other people know what picture you want to represent you. And I say that because most people don't put a picture of themselves; they put something out there that represents them, I guess. And you can put your state. And there's not too many things we make really public, just because we don't want to get into too many kind of stalking situations
where you're
setting
upset
up
that you lost and bejeweled and
then they hunt you down kind of thing. But we want to be able to communicate in a way. And what's funny is that we do have the ability to have communications with your buddies or invite people to be buddies or refer games to other people, rate games, that kind of stuff. And you'll see those ratings, which is really helpful if you're out there and going, I got four words and a little picture to sell the game. I need to find out what other people think who've bought this game. And that's very helpful, I think, for customers to be able to have. But you know, they'll be able to see status points, which you'll get points for doing things like scores, uploading scores. So you may not be the best at a particular game, but you've done that game a lot, or you've bought a lot of games, or referred a lot of games, and you can then move up the rankings as far as status goes.
So other people can see that I've played certain games or beat certain games.
Yeah, you can actually make your leaderboard just your buddies. So I know some people at work. We've actually got a group of people that every once in a while when we play a game, we'll just have the buddy leaderboard. So we can kind of filter out everybody else, and it doesn't matter what are the high scores across the nation. We just want to know who's winning amongst the five of us.
Right. Okay.
And that's the kind of fun stuff.
So it's customizable.
It is. It's easy, and we wanted to make it user friendly and not just something that maybe somebody who's really technically savvy or really really hardcore into games would get. Just make it for the masses.
Okay. So, switching gears a little bit, you guys have two new phones that you're talking about
here
at E3. Do you want to kind of give us a rundown of them?
Sure. The ones that we kind of mentioned at the top of this conversation were the Samsung A800, which is actually both of these phones are slider format, which is basically the screen's on top, and as you slide it up, it reveals the keys that are underneath.
Mm-hmm.
What's neat about this is this phone actually has the ability to take pictures of business cards and take that text from a business card and put it into your contact information. So it's actually an easier way to update your contact list on your phone than triple typing.
How successful is that technology? Like if I were to...
It's standard text. It doesn't handle if you've got... For example, I know your business card has a unique font for your name.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those things that it would probably have a challenge.
Okay.
In converting, right? But if it's in any kind of Arial or standard type font, then it'll be able to pull that.
Snap a picture, and you have all the info.
Well, it's like when you have a business card scanner, where you actually need to say, "This is the phone number. This is the address. This is the title. So on and so forth."
Okay.
Can you port that contact list over to your PC?
There are tools where you can actually take contact lists off your phone and put them into a PC and maybe switch them to another phone if you need to switch back and forth. It's not it's a third-party software, and most of the phones we have nowadays actually support that. And then if you ever went from phone to phone, we do offer that within our stores where you can swap your contact list.
I have sending it to Outlook.
I would assume that because it comes into, it takes it, the, for example, Future Dial takes it from your phone and puts it into an Excel spreadsheet, that Excel will then take it from your, well, Outlook will take it from Excel.
Right.
Common delimited type of
delimited.
Thing. Thank you. It's later in the afternoon. My tongue's not working quite right. The other thing, neat thing is these phones both have removable memory. The A800 has TransFlash, which stores up to 512, and the LG 535 has a mini SD slot. So this is a good place where you can actually put MP3. They both have stereo headsets. You can listen to MP3s as you're out and about. You can store extra photos on there. They have the ability to have a camcorder on each one of them. If you have...
can you store videos on the SD card?
Yeah, so that's part of the camcorder piece right. to it, is you can actually store video on there. You can, with a 512 card, you could actually store about 90 minutes of a video at about 15 frames a second. If you want to do more of a short clip, you can actually use what's called video mail and actually take a 15-second clip with sound and then send it to somebody else who has a phone, a Sprint phone, or you can send it to an email address.
Okay.
So that you can send just about anybody.
Can you download movie clips off the
web?
You
can stream. Yeah, so a media player is built into these two phones. The media player does do streaming. And again, if you have the vision plan, then you don't have to worry about how much time you're spending downloading all this stuff. And that is some heavy traffic there. So if you're starting to do that on a non-plan basis, that those things can add up. But because so many people have our vision plan, it's not really a big issue.
So are there two things to kind of consider when watching videos is the cost of the video plus the actual download
right.
amount. Right.
Right. So I think that's one of the things that's really attractive about Sprint is we have this plan that, you know, for vision is unlimited for $15 for, you know, going out to the websites, going out and doing streaming, going out to play multiplayer games. But it also gives you $5 to $10 in credit so you could buy that game or that ringtone or what have you. And then text messages, 100 text messages are included in that as well. So it's really an incredibly good deal that helps you to kind of get the barrier going. You know what, I'm worried about the cost. I can sign up for Vision. It's 2 months for free, you know, so there's even no risk there. Get into it and find out if I like it. And, you know, the people we work with, the content partners who work with us love it because we're making it easy for customers with unlimited data. We're making it so this credit, we still pay these guys the same, even though somebody may be using credits to do it. I absolutely love the fact that we're moving this along. So.
Okay.
So it's a still camera. How many megapixels?
Samsung A800 is 2 megapixels. So that is the largest in the U.S. right now. And then the LG 535 is 1.3 megapixels.
Okay.
And like I said, I've taken this, the 2 megapixel one, along on a trip with my wife, and we took pictures of sunsets and we have an 8x10 framed in our house just off of one of the sunsets down the Keys.
Take it from the camera phone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just send it, and you can upload it to your library that you go to, you know, pictures.sprintpcs.com, and it's all included in the price of your vision plan. So if you have, you know, the $15 a month, that service is all in there. You can take as many pictures as you want and store them up on the album and stuff like that.
Do you have, do you provide the ability to purchase wallpapers or
sure.
And okay, so you can do that. How do you prevent
it's piracy of the card? Yeah, so the card is for user created content, right? So whether it's video, whether it's pictures, whether it's MP3s that you put on from your computer and then bring over to your phone, all that's capable. But once you download something, it goes into an area that's sectioned that cannot be, it's forward locked. You cannot actually copy it onto the card. Helping keep that piracy to a minimum.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what kind of services do you provide as far as downloading or, you know, mobile content?
So we have
games.
Well, there isn't anything else besides games, right? No, games. We do the ringtones, which include video ringtones. So you can actually have a video of music video actually play as your ringtone.
Like a 15.
Yeah,
clip.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty impressive. And then the audio codec is AAC, which is the same that iTunes uses.
Oh, wow.
So that, are you going to pull one up here, Laura?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can drag an iTunes song?
No. Theoretically, you could do that, but my point was the quality of the sound was comparable to what you would use for your iPod.
Okay. But can you can play AAC files
that
aren't DRM protected?
Yeah, if you wanted to actually have your own, create your own stuff, our network is open. If you were making user-created stuff, you could actually download that into the Ringer category. It'll take a little bit of know-how, but it's available. And there's tools that allow that out on the internet and stuff like that.
So this isn't, MIDI ringtones. This is actual voice. Now,
if Laura plays this here in a second, I'm sure it'll be Don Ho, Tiny Bubbles, or something like that, according to Laura's taste. So ringtones, screensavers, both animated and still screensavers, so just images, same thing you'd probably call wallpapers.
Mm-hmm.
Non-gaming applications, so if you want to have the Weather Channel application, look at your radar, what's going on. Games, of course, multimedia, so the ability to be able to go out and see previews for movies, go out and see a channel, CNN to go, or the Weather Channel, or the Sports Channel, or the Hawaiian Tropics swimsuit channel.
Okay.
So
excellent.
A little bit of there's actually cartoons, which is actually one of the most popular things is cartoons. What we're finding, people will take a little cartoon snippet, pass the phone back to the kid as they're driving someplace to kind of placate them if they don't have one of those DVD players.
Whose cartoons? Are they Sprint created, or are they cartoons people are familiar with?
Yeah, they're cartoons. I don't know if we've
Cartoon
announced.
Network.
Cartoon Network. So yeah, right. Legitimate Adult Swim kind of cartoons, some
very cool
things for the after pub type stuff, right? Did you get the ringtone you want? Oh, okay. Oh, geez.
Okay.
Is this the video one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Video ringtone. We should have had it downloaded.
Okay. Well, one last question that I wanted to ask you about. I know it's not gaming related, but a lot of our users.
Here's an example.
Go ahead.
Do you want to do this one?
Sure.
Well, I don't really care what people say. I don't really watch what them want to do. Still, I got to stick to my girls like glue. And I'm a
okay.
It's a little Sean Paul like glue.
Sean Paul like glue. It doesn't get much better than that on a cell phone.
And that quality was meant for you to hear in your pocket, right? So if you actually listen to it in your pocket or earphones, it would sound
fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Last question. Sprint's EVDO, could you give us any information on that?
Sure. We're going to launch our new high-speed network, which is going to probably be named something better than EVDO, but nonetheless, that's the technical term for it. It's basically data only in a high-speed network that allow for better video to be streamed down, maybe you can think of some music-related things that we can't quite discuss at this point, but that'll happen later on this year, and I wish I could share with you to your customers and your listeners more details, but unfortunately, it's top secret stuff. But I'd lose my job.
It's going to launch or where?
I know that it's going to be in limited markets and it'll roll out fast. But as it is right now, we can't get too much away.
Okay, understandable.
Sure.
But Jason, we thank you for your time.
Sure.
Laura, we also thank you for your time.
Thank you.
We look forward to seeing Sprint's, what you guys have to offer, and definitely looking forward to the future of mobile gaming.
Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tell me you got
perfect.
It.
Yeah.